I'm Metal Mike, and this is the 80s Glam Metalcast. Well, hey, welcome to the first official episode of 2021. In this one, we talk to a vocalist from Yngwie Malmsteen fame, Goran Edman. He talks about the ups and downs of playing with Yngwie. We also get into a deep discussion how he almost became the singer for Vinnie Vincent Invasion on two different occasions. It's very cool stuff. Check it out. Well, Goran, welcome to the 80s Glam Metalcast. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. Great. The circumstances are not so good here, but
yeah.
Because of the COVID-19, but so far I managed to avoid it, so
great.
Let's hope I knock on wood.
So I got to ask you, the last interview I did was with Robert Fleischman from Vinnie Vincent Invasion, and I'm searching around on YouTube clips, and I find this video. Yeah. Where you're singing almost like half the songs on that first album. How did that come about?
Yeah, up to the solos, yeah. There was Vinny wanted me to copy his voice into, you know, details, you know, and his wailing and everything. every song on the first album, on the first Vinnie Vincent Invasion album, up to the solo, more or less. So then send him all the material. So that's why this demo ended up, you know, on the internet. Someone put it there. Some friend, or I don't know. Everything is available now on the internet.
True. How close were you to becoming the lead singer?
I don't know for what reason, you know, he was not on board anymore, Robert Fleischman, if there was some conflict between them or whatever happened. But he was looking for a new singer, so... I was... helping some friend from Gothenburg, you know, a very ambitious guy who was going to go over to LA and distribute his demos all over the town. So I was singing songs for him, and then Vinny stumbled over this demo and was trying to get in contact with me. But the guy, you know, who I was making this demo for, refused to give him my number, so he had to find. He had to go through him, you know, and find somebody else to track me up. And finally, he got in touch with me. So he wanted me to do this as an audition. And then I sent the material back. Immediately he called me up and said that I was on board, more or less, like, yeah, because he really loved what he heard and everything. And it was time for me to pack my bag, more or less. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, great. Looking forward to it. But a few weeks later, he called me up again and was sounded sort of disappointed and said that the record company, you know, had the option and everything on this album because of the contract he's been signing with them, you know, wanted an American singer and not me. So, and he couldn't do anything about it because, you know, the contract was tying him up. You know, he couldn't really control the situation, no matter who, what singer he wanted. It was the record company, Chrysalis, had the last words. Mm-hmm. So the other singer was Mark Slaughter. So he was the one guy who was also continue recording with him. It was between me and Mark, actually, in the end. But the record company wanted Mark, and Vinny wanted me. That's the version that Vinny gave me when he called me up.
Right. Now, there's some demos, and I don't know if the timelines are right on some of the stuff that's on YouTube, but there's a demo called, you know, Young Blood, Young Fire, and it says 1991. Did you do some demos again once the first Invasion?
Well, the thing is that 3 years, or a few years later, he called me up again, Vinny, and I think that was around 89 or something he called me. Or 88, in the end of 88, maybe. So he asked me to come over to LA, and because he had the new songs and he wanted to record them. He said that he wanted to make an audition again, so he wanted me to come over and try to sing the songs and see how it sounded. But actually, I think he just wanted me to sing a demo for free. Because I was standing 14 days singing every day in his home studio in Reseda. And I didn't see much of L.A. I was a slave in his home studio. And we did, I think, around 9 songs, right? complete songs, a demo, and we, I remember we also went up on Chrysalis and he wanted to introduce some new material for the record company, but I mean, he was fired from Chrysalis by then, you know, they signed the band, but not him.
Yeah.
Slaughter, so they were not interested. They said, like, oh, you have to prove yourself with the younger band, they just said to him. Oh, they called him up actually later and said that they didn't say it out to eye. You know, it's more like, we call you later. don't call us, we call you. So then he was really disappointed and said, like, he really liked what he heard again and said, can you wait? Please wait, and I will try to find another record company. It might take some time, but promise me to wait. And I said, oh, I'll wait. And I waited for a year almost. And then, in the end, I just felt that nothing's going to happen with this, because he got an offer from, I think it was Sony Music, but he didn't like that contract either, because it was the same sort of contract he had, you know, in the old days, that he had no, the record company had the options and everything. So that's when Yngwie's manager called me and asked me to come to Miami and make an audition. So I ended up signing with Yngwie Malmsteen, and ironically, that's when I got home. My wife told me that, oh, Vinny called while you were gone, and you want to have your passport number so we can arrange a flight ticket, because you got a record contract. Now, what? He's going to call you back today. I told him we're going to come back today. And he called, and I said, like, you're trying to explain that now I got a deal and everything, so can you give me the password number? And I was, like, quiet. And he's like, he picked up the vibe immediately, like, have you signed somebody else? Well, actually, I signed with Yngwie Malmsteen. Oh. And I was expecting him to be furious or something, but he was more like, okay, well, I respect that. If you want to sign with Yngwie, not me. It's okay, I mean, you've been waiting a long time and everything, but please give it a second thought. I call you back in a couple of days, so let's see if you change your mind. But then I haven't signed anything with Yngwie, but I've been talking with Yngwie about signing. But I ended up, you know, doing the Yngwie Malmsteen stuff. And anyway, I don't think I could ever be possible to sing the material. It was too high. It was really high, everything I remember. I had to squeeze my balls. To get up there, you know, and I can do it in the studio, but live, no.
Right.
I would have ruined my voice doing it live. So it was luckily it didn't happen.
Yeah, you made the right decision.
But it opened many doors for me. It opened many doors. That Back on the Street song, you know, made the difference for my career, more or less. That was the reason I was signed with John Norum, and that was the reason, you know, I recorded that song again with John Norum. And Yngwie heard that album, John Norum's first solo album, and then when he fired, or when the band left him, actually, Jeff Gottsoed and everyone just went away because they were tired of his manners. Then he remembered that song and my voice and called me up and asked me for the audition. So it was all about it. Back on the Streets.
Right, right. What did you think of Vinny Vincent as a person? Did you like him?
Oh, he was very humble guy and very down-to-earth guy, family guy. He had his family and his two daughters, and he seems to be very happy with that life, and he was staying away from all kind of drugs and alcohol and even coughing. And he was a workaholic, more or less, all the time. But very nice, no bad manners or anything. Like I liked him a lot as a person.
So did the John Norum, the gig with John Norum, did he hear those demos too of you singing the Vinny songs?
I don't know if he ever heard that version with that was recorded many years later. I have no idea, actually. He never made any comment on it or anything. Like, I don't think I have recorded it when I was there. Doing the demos for the third album that never came out, I even have four songs from, he sent me four demos from that. The third album, so-called, that I have on a tape somewhere. He told me when everything was cancelled and everything, and I signed with Yngwie, said he wanted me to send back the tape. But I had made a copy. I made a copy, of course, of it, and sent him back. the tapes. I kept the songs for my own records there somewhere.
Oh wow! People would love to hear that.
I don't have a tape recorder anymore to play it on. Everything is digital these days.
So you signed with Yngwie Malmsteen. Looking back, do you have good memories of working with Yngwie?
Yeah, it was. There was ups and downs.
Sure.
I'm glad I did it. You know, it meant a lot for my creativity to be on these two albums, and I still have work because I was doing these albums, so I still have a sort of career because of the reputation from those two albums that we released. And but as a person, he was kind of tricky. He could be very nice, and he can also be an asshole. So
sure.
And after a while, you know, you got really fed up. I remember I liked the first period. We liked coming there, doing the first Eclipse album, and going out on world tours, and that was nice, but Fire and Ice was like a hell coming back. I have no inspiration. I didn't have the same sort of inspiration anymore because he really wanted to be in charge this time. And he was a little bit sloppy during the recordings of Eclipse. He was never present. He was out drinking, partying, you know, showing up late in the studio when we all were done, more or less.
Wow.
So the engineer, you know, was helping out a lot with the producing of the albums and the harmonies and the choirs. And I remember Yngwie thought that the Eclipse was overproduced, too many harmonies and everything, like, shouldn't happen on Fire and Ice. It should be more like a raw, live feeling over the whole album, but less production. That was his thought, anyway. So he tried to be more present then. And control the situation more.
It seems like you have more songwriting credits on Fire and Ice.
Yeah, I was writing a lot of helping out with some melodies and lyrics. Sometimes you just have, you know, scribbled down something, you know, some words here and there. This song is going to be about this or that, but and then I have to fill in the words. You just have the title for the song, mm-hmm. more or less. So I think I wrote 12. I have credits for 12 songs.
I think so. Yeah, I think you're right.
I even have to sue him, you know, threaten to sue him to get the money. Even if I have the contracts and everything, you know, it was obvious, black and white, written on the document. Nothing happened. I didn't get any money. So, fortunately, in Sweden, we are very organized with union and everything. So I was a member of the Swedish Music Association, and they had with an attorney and everything, paid for everything.
Wow.
Because the process took 3 years or so before we got them to pay the money.
Wow.
If I would have paid for that an attorney myself, it would cost a fortune. But the Swedish Music Association helped me to finance the whole process.
Do you like one of those albums better than the other? What's your favorite out of the two?
Well, maybe I would like the first album better, Eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Well, you accomplished something that a lot of singers didn't accomplish. You actually did two full albums back-to-back and two full tours, so somehow you made it work. Not many singers before you lasted that long.
Well, I guess the only one that has been lasting is Mark Bowles.
Yeah.
I've been using Mark Bowles a lot for even later and for Trilogy and... Yeah.
Now a lot of people kind of question what he does today. Currently, a lot of people miss the great vocals and the added songwriting that these vocalists brought in, like you, Jolynn Turner, Jeff Scott Soto. If he ever called you to ever sing on a song, would you ever work with him again?
I don't know. I mean, that's not. I have getting older. You know, older. Bad vibes and everything, but I would be very surprised to even call.
Yeah.
What have you eaten, Yngwie? Well, what are you on? Are you really serious about this, or are you confused? Because first of all, he really the lesson he learned from all these things with the attorneys and everything was that, like, never let a vocalist make a melody again or write a lyric again, because then everything is getting out of my hands, and I think his empire is controlled by him and his wife now, so
sure.
He's trying to distance himself from the rest of the band, more or less.
Yeah.
They are slaves. like he wanted to be. He mentioned that to us, you know, during in the old times too, that we were just cattle.
Oh, jeez.
driving on a bus, and no one would even ever notice if we quit the band or not, because they all focused on his guitar playing and on him as the artist. So we are supposed to do what we are told to do and shut up. That was his attitude from the beginning. But and now he finally, you know, established that kind of, you know, rule.
Yeah. Oh no, he has. But you know, for me, I'm somebody who I'm not big into all the guitar solos. I always liked Yngwie for the songs and the vocalist that he had. So that's why, like today, I don't care for much of what he's doing.
Well, he's an exceptional guitar player. You can really hear directly, immediately, but his tone and everything. So, I mean, it's undeniable that he's a great guitar player. But also, you know, that's never enough. You need good songs.
Yep.
You need good songwriting, too. And, well, he's such a big ego, so it's very difficult to work with him.
Yeah. So now you've done a lot of different albums and projects, obviously, since the Yngwie days. If somebody had lost track of what you've been working on and they want to get back into it, what's some recommendations of some albums you've done that people might like, you think?
Well, I've been working in many other genres that I mean, from the beginning, I wasn't so much into the hard rock or metal music. I was more into progressive. Mm-hmm. Progressive rock, like the old progressive rock from the 70s, Genesis, that kind of music.
Sure.
So I got a chance to do a little bit of that kind of work too. I didn't write anything. Everything was composed by the bass player that has created the band called Kamakonic. But I'm really proud of the albums. They're really great. And he's a very talented guy. It's Jonas by writing the music and everything is very well thought out, and everything from lyrics to melody lines and the arrangements around it. Those albums are great. I think musically, you know, everyone that's performing on these albums are great musicians too. So I mean, they're technically very good, high level on those albums.
I was listening to this week Dark Blue Ink. I think you got that came out in 2019. I thought that sounded really good.
Oh, the Dark Blue Incorporated, yeah. That's Frank's project. He started that one, and now he's a busy man. First of all, the Bonfire, of course, that's mm-hmm. his job. And now he's have another album out with another project called Sainted Sinners. So I guess, I don't know when you're going to, you know, continue writing music for Dark Blue Incorporated.
When you talk about some of your influences, I've always thought I heard a little bit of Paul Rodgers in your voice. Was he an early influence?
Yeah, well, he's undeniable, one of them, and a very influential blues rock singer. And I always loved blues rock. I mean, blues rock is more my cup of tea than metal.
Sure.
So. Yeah, I think I've been, there's a lot of influence from him.
Who else?
But also, I mean, you listen to a lot of singers. I mean, I guess you pick up things, you know, without, not purposely, but, you know, some things stays from everyone that you listen.
Oh, yeah.
That you liked. Everything from Steve Walsh to...
Well, hey, Gordon, I appreciate you answering all these questions about Yngwie and Vinnie Vincent, all these guys. Anything you want to say in closing to your fans out there?
Well, I hope the corona goes away, the COVID-19 goes away, so the world, the lockdown can be over and there's possibilities to go out touring again.
Yes.
First of all, so it'll be great to be out there on the road.
Definitely. Well, hey, man, you have a happy new year, all right? Good talking with you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Take care now. Well, that was a great chat with Goran. Lots more stuff coming this month. Rock on!